Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? So Katherine Heigl, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she's seen more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. So what she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. But fortunately, she has found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformation in their health. And she has made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, y'all know I'm a cat lady. Y'all know that Kiki is the queen of the shit show here. But I watched this video and there's actually some things that I can apply to her health. So hopefully she'll live another 15 years or so. So go to badlandsfood.com/adultchild and watch Katherine's video. Again, that is badlandsfood.com/adultchild.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Shit Show Saturday, folks. How's it going? So one thing that I cannot stress enough is that we got some really good dudes that are on this shit show ship. We have some quality men. And so one of those shit show dudes is a pirate, a matey called Andrew. Andrew is called Andrew, named Andrew. What is it called? Called Andrew. What if it was like named Frank, but called Andrew? Okay, no one's probably laughing at that. So, Shit Show Andrew. Yeah, he is a rock. He is a pillar of this community. We have all benefited greatly from Andrew being a part of our life and a part of this community. And I can truly attest to that. You know, he has been such a great support for me. This job is hard sometimes, you know, having to deal with all the shit shows. You know, this is tough work. And it's really just nice to know that, you know, I always know that Andrew, he got my back. You know, he got my back. And he is also the individual responsible for creating and leading the childhood sexual abuse sub-community within the community. And there's some really profound healing going on there. And it is because, I know it's because Andrew's created such a safe space there. And yeah, it's like Andrew's kind of like a walking safe space. He's like a walking safe space. So he was Shit Show Saturday number 15. This is all the way back in August 8th of 2022. And so I did a little 2-year checkup with him to see what's happened in the past couple years since he's been on this ship. Has he gotten any better? Has he gotten worse? You know, what's the assessment? So I was going to just put a link to his initial Shit Show Saturday in the show notes if you wanted to listen to it. But you know what? I thought it's been 2 years. I might as well just include it in here. I mean, I think we could probably all use a refresher on Andrew's story. Plus, I thought it might make the 2-year checkup part a little bit more interesting if you hear, you know, where he started and how he got there. You know, what is that thing? What's that like weird thing? Like, how did it start? How's it going? You know, is that what the kids are doing these? I feel like that was like a thing on social media. Like, how it started? How's it going? I don't think I'm saying right. I'm a little bit unhinged. Huh? A little unhinged right now. So yeah, so you're going to get to hear Shit Show Andrew. I told Andrew that if he ever abandons me, if he ever jumps off this ship, I'm going to kill him. And he knows I'm serious. So let's get the damn show on the road. But first, let's talk about why you need to damn the join Shit Show, especially you Shit Show dudes. Have you been looking for some, you know, other men that are on this healing journey or having a hard time finding quality cool dudes that are doing this healing work? Well, look no further. They are on this ship, okay? They be on this ship. So how about you just do the damn thing and let's damn the join. The Shit Show dudes have been wanting to join for a while. Today's your day. Let's get those little thumbs going. Go to the show notes, click the link, damn the join. Next, give me a little follow on the Insta and the TikTok at Adult Child Pod. And last but not least, whatever you do, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you. Love you all.
Welcome to another episode of Shit Show Saturday. And today we are joined by a really special shit show to me. He's one of the shittiest shit shows we got. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hi.
Trigger warning, guys, just in case, I don't know what's going to come out, but you've been warned. So you've been warned. Song, what do you want played?
Like walking into a room kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
You know the deal.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of them, basically.
You got to pick one.
I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner.
Oh, okay. I dig it. Carbohydrate.
Cheesy potatoes.
Like mashed potatoes with like cheese mixed in, or like the cube potatoes with like mixed with the cheese?
Like a scalloped potato kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, smoked on a cast iron skillet, you know?
That sounds pretty amazing good. Right now. Okay, well, that's a nice segue. Cheese. You can't say cheesy potatoes for cheese.
Right, so cheese. I really do like, you know, cottage cheese, mozzarella, cream cheese. I use a lot of cream cheese in a lot of dishes, so.
Like what?
Oh, you can make cream cheese. I mean, just anything that's melted, you know, just any type of dips. So it's
yeah, or just like straight spoon it up.
Yeah, yeah, cream cheese, yes, you know. I like it softer, or crackers or whatever, but.
That was the first cottage cheese we've got.
I like cottage cheese.
I like cottage cheese too.
Pepper and salt and maybe a peach or two.
I like the with the pineapple mixed in. That's my jam. And then condiment.
Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce. Do you like a sweet, a smoky, a mesquite, a mustard? What's the barbecue? So you're in Kentucky. So like, what is the Kentucky style barbecue sauce? What are we working with there?
They like a lot of sweet.
Okay.
It is more sweeter than.
So it's a more tomato-based one as opposed to vinegar-based?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Compared to like Texas or Kansas, you know, Texas and Kansas has some, they're all famous for their barbecue. But what we have here in Kentucky is mutton.
Lamb.
Cheap, yeah. So we eat a lot of mutton, pork, right? But yeah, barbecue sauce and probably Chick-fil-A sauce are my top two.
You've seen Princess Bride, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah, remember? Do you remember like whenever I think of mutton, I think about that? Because there's the part with like Billy Crystal, like with the witch. And he's like, he says something about like an MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay, so tell me about how you learned about the terminal child and how you realized that you're a big one.
So I've been going to therapy for 3 years, starting around beginning of 2019. And how I learned that I was an adult child was through basically kind of like therapy, listening to my therapist, and finding out that, you know, I have the trifecta of all the abuses. And
which is what? What's the trifecta?
And so we have physical abuse, emotional and mental abuse.
And then sexual?
And sexual abuse.
Okay. The trifecta. Okay. So you're the hat trick of abuse.
Right. And I'm like, why me? Right. You know, but the, you know, whenever you start looking at the traits of an adult child, it's like check mark. Maybe I got to change a couple words, but check mark, you know, you know, it doesn't have to say alcoholism, but it says something else, mental disorders, you know, I'm like, well, I can change those to say something else, but, but wholeheartedly though, to actually say that I'm an adult child was maybe about a year ago. Right. So that's when I'm like, that's when I was finding your stuff and finding other, you know, things about the ACA. And I'm like, this is right up my alley. So
I love, so your therapist actually was familiar with the term.
Well, my therapist is familiar with a lot of types of abuse. Right. So they have an influx of different types. I mean, from different realms of types of abuse and trying to fix themselves. And, and you're basically the way I was put it to me is you're stuck as the 8 year old. That's where you're at, especially with your reactions and what you say to people and how you feel about yourself. That's a child. That's not an adult. That's not, you're not responding to stimuli and people that are of your same peers, your peer group. you're a little different.
You're a little off. How did that feel to you? Like, was there some resistance in that, or were you like, oh fuck yes, you are?
Everything. Every time I learned something about myself and learned, you know, the self healing. You know, everybody's on a journey, right? I wasn't on that journey till 3 years ago. I wasn't on that journey to say, hey, I need help. And that's when you're seeing yourself of like, okay, you recognize all this in yourself and how you treat people. And it's the biggest mask, right? We carry around these masks and who I truly am. I'm still figuring that out at times. Growing up, I wasn't taught very, you know, the, you know, normal social skills are basically, you know, things that you should know about, right? You should know about these type of things. And I'm like, okay, I learned stuff. In fact, I just learned stuff last week, even for my wife. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. Really? So, yeah. It's one of those things of you're always learning.
Yeah. We're always learning.
Right. And I started this, you know, started this healing journey before COVID, BC, right? We call it BC, DC during COVID and AC for after COVID, whenever AC will come, right? We're still in DC. But before COVID and before everybody went through the same, you know, COVID situation and mental breakdowns, right? I was already doing my therapy before, you know, it was an in-person type thing. And then now we're, you know, we went to a, video, you know, or phone. We usually just talk on the phone, but it is, you know, when you hear that, it's like a weight lifted off. To really answer your question, was it like a weight lifted off every time I'm learning something new? It's like, damn, it feels better to know that I'm really not that weird.
Well, you're weird, but you're not the only weirdo.
Right. Right. And I'm okay with that. And
me too.
I know I've always been different.
Not weird is boring.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your bottom?
My rock bottom was the 3 year mark. It's basically 30 years of silence when you're always told to shut up, go away, don't say anything bad. If it's not good, don't say it. And I grew up in a small town, small country town, kind of a place with like one high school. And then that rock bottom was when I was on the phone, long to kind of back it up a little bit. I had a meeting with my own father, and he wrote my wife a letter, and he mailed it to her. And she read it, and she handed it to me because it's a big envelope. And I read it, and when I read that letter, I called my brother, my older brother, and I proceeded to go off on the whole situation, right? Express, you know, I was pretty much yelling, not at my brother, but at my brother about this letter. And in front of my wife, I let out 30 years of secrets to my brother. And I ran through my entire life history within like 20 to 30 minutes with him on the phone with me. And disclosing everything that was bad. He had no clue. Meanwhile, my wife was standing right there in the living room, and I literally was just going off. That was.
But you didn't realize she was in there, right?
She was there, but I did not see her, right? I mean, I never saw her standing there, right? I was just so mad. I've never gotten that mad before. It was, I've never seen red and darkness before of when you're so angry, right? I'm not an angry, I get frustrated and kind of spout off, you know, but no one's really seen me like anger, like, you know, a big bear, right? Just a big teddy bear. You keep poking the bear, keep poking the bear comes on fire and you're not, I wasn't being stopped. So when I said all that, my wife left. She was going for a walk when she heard all this, and she came back and she was like, you need some help. You need to go. You need to talk to somebody. You know, this is big, right? And I call her the normal people, right? I call them normies. Those are normal people who don't have any type of abuse, you know, or very little to none, right? Very caring family that she grew up in, and she's normal. And then being a, you know, a 42-year-old male at the time, was a 39-year-old male, but being a man and dealing with these, this trifecta, and not being embarrassed and shamed and, you know, like my voice matters kind of thing, right? Who the hell's going to listen to me, right? That's self-doubting. Right. But yeah, after that, it took me about 3 months. Well, I started looking into therapy, right? You start looking online and try not to let your Google search get too horrible, or your FBI agent sitting there watching you, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just like, what are you Googling?
Mine are like pimple videos.
Right. Like pimple popper. You can watch pimple popper.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can, so I found this therapy, this group here where I live, and, they accepted me. Right. And I got with a therapist, and, denial, like a mofo. I denied all this, right? Not denied it, but it took me a long time to come out of my shell and actually say, hey, this is, and she gave me hope. Right. And that was the biggest thing for me, was hope. Never had anybody say, hey, there's hope for you, right, of healing. I thought it was going to be like a 6 month, you know, 7 month kind of therapy thing. And no,
in and out.
Yeah, it's not happening. Like, she's like, you've got compounded trauma. You've got so much stuff that you have to work through your family, through your childhood, everything, all aspects of life. You're going to have to kind of start reprogramming your brain. And I'm like, okay, how do you reprogram your brain? Right. And that's when I was introduced to EMDR. So I was introduced to EMDR with my therapist, and it's great. We're going to have to do some more. But as of May, though, I don't want to put this in past tense, but as of May of this year, 2022, I no longer see my therapist. She got a new position. And so she's like HR director now. I don't have a therapist currently. Constantly looking for referrals, looking for the people who you look for online to say, hey, you sort all these filters out and you get them narrowed down and you go look at their websites and it's like, okay, yay, no, I do want to, you know, very, very limited because of the COVID and everybody's looking for therapy. Everybody's looking for a therapist. And I'm like, I was here first.
Yeah, exactly.
I have this number.
Yeah. I'm curious because I think that this is something that happens with adult children. When your therapist let you know that she was not going to be able to be your therapist anymore, did you have an abandonment response?
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. I even wrote her a letter, right? I even put it in my letter that I feel abandoned. I never thought I would feel that, right? We talk about feelings and, you know, other than being happy, sad, or mad, right? That's what most men are. There's a whole wheel of so many more feelings. And then, of course, that abandonment just, it was heavy. But the way I put it and the way my trauma brain, I always think there's like a couple people on my shoulder, but my trauma brain feels that abandonment. But my realistic brain says, hey, Drew, you know, she gave you this foundation. She gave you hope. She gave you all these tools. She introduced you to healing. Mm-hmm. You're going to have other healers come into your life, whether it be a life coach or another therapist or organization or another group of people, right? That you're going to click. And she told me that, you know, but it's been 8 weeks. And I'm like, oh, crap. I do need to see a therapist. You know, I'm like, the anxiety keeps kicking up and trying to bounce things off of other people, right? Without saying, will you be my therapist for a little bit? Can I run this past you? Because, you know, anyway.
So, you know, you said 30 years of all this shit that you're holding on to. Now, granted, successful career, I'd say. Yep. Successful marriage for the most part, yep. Right?
Yep. No kids.
Right? Yeah. So do you feel like in hindsight, do you feel like you were walking around tortured by this silent past, or you really were just so disconnected from it? It wasn't a major player in your daily life.
It was always a daily. It was shame. Mm-hmm. That shame and, you know, all the other little stupid traits that I have, it was always there. It was always there based upon what happened to me. Mm-hmm. So events in the current events of the news, mm-hmm. whether it be school people, teachers, to religion, to celebrities, mm-hmm. that are in the news of abuse, of all kinds of abuse, right? So those are just like triggers every day, mm-hmm. right? So it's just always there going, okay, you know, but I truly honestly believed that I could take this to the grave. Mm-hmm. I really honestly believe that no one's ever going to find out about what happened to me. Our baby boomer parents kind of said, sweep it under the rug. Don't say shit about it. Don't bring shame to our family, you know, move on that and not confront what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But it was always there. It's always been there. I really saw a lot of it in 2005, a little bit. I almost had my low point in 2005. Basically, I broke up with my girlfriend of 7 years. Quit my job and started over and went and visited a psychiatrist. That was the wrong thing to do for someone who has mental trauma and mental issues and dealing with their shit.
That isn't going to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, she's prescribed so many drugs. I mean, I met this one psychiatrist. I met her total of 3 times, and I was on some major narcotics. I remember what they were. It was bad. Basically, Respitol, Adderall, Depakote, Ambien to sleep at night. Right. So I was on this concoction of drugs constantly, and I was on it for about 6 or 7 months. It's not a good.
Ambien is so dangerous. I mean, people like sleepwalk, drive, like it's like horrible.
Right. I mean, I've sleptwalk. I have a lot, you know, it's the nightmares. A lot of people don't talk about the nightmares. I always wondered why even my older brother would chip people with, you know, trauma. There's some people that can remember details of their daily lives, but for some of us, my childhood was a blank. It is a blank. I always had to go back to my brother and say, hey, well, you know, what happened here? Where'd we do? You know, he can remember certain Christmases and stuff. I'm like, I have no clue. It's just a blank. I just remember like snippets of it. That's another hurdle, right? Realizing all your friends can remember the childhoods, but you can't remember yours. And so you're thinking, all right, this is horrible. You know, and you try to recall those good memories. And that's another hard issue, is recalling the good memories from your childhood and not being able to say, hey, I can relate with you, Andrea. Yay, you know, you went to summer camp. Okay. Yeah, I went, but I don't remember it. Right. My memory recall really kicked in right after high school. I was able to remember basically when I grew up in a small town, and then once I became 18, I moved out at the age of 19. Moved, you know, a couple hours away to a bigger city, and knew that, you know, my abusers and all the, I was leaving all the shit behind. But it does stay with me on a daily basis, weekly basis, in a way. The abuse does. So,
what was your wife's understanding of your childhood? And did she feel betrayed at all?
Right. So we're still working through that. She knew that.
Not that you were intentionally betraying her, obviously.
That's how I felt, yeah. Right? But yeah. That's how I felt. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I just like blurted out all this trauma, all this on my trauma dump on her in front of her. It's a work in progress, right? So she works with me on my reactions, how I feel, my feelings. She's helping me cope with those. But the initial shock, it put her back, right? It set her, you know, she's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. And she's allowed me to freely do things. I mean, I can go do whatever I want. She doesn't control me or anything like that. But, you know, whenever I tell her I'm going to therapy, tell her I'm going to group, tell her I'm doing this, tell her I'm doing that, tell her I'm got in a Zoom meeting, right? She's all for it, right? She's like, well, you can't do that because we're doing this. No, she sees my schedule. She knows where I'm doing things, and she's okay with it, right? So having that validation from her that, this healing does take time, and she knew that I had a troubled childhood when we first met. Like, she knew that, basically when we first met is when my grandmother was killed. Well, anyway, she died. Let me rephrase that technically. She saw my family for the first time right when, you know, basically I met her in November. And in January, a few months later, my grandmother passed away, and she was dealing with me with a whole funeral shit show. So that's where she's seen me at my low points. she's seen me, you know, where I'm, but basically just kind of thought that, you know, okay, this is just him, how he copes with it and how he deals with it. And nothing about the trauma, you know, she knew that, you know, I just didn't have good parents. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household with, you know, where love was never told to you. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. They never came out right and said, "Hey, I love you. I love you, son." I think I've only heard it maybe 5 or 6 times my entire life from my own parents. Mm-hmm. So when we met in 2000, Katie and I met in 2009. And then in 2013 is when we got married. We basically got married in June, beginning of June. And in October of 2013, my mother passed away. And she didn't know any of this. I was more upset. Yes, I was devastated by my mother passing away. I was there when she passed away. I pushed the code button when she passed away in the hospital, congestive heart failure. And I was there holding her hand when she died. I was upset that she passed away, but the way my brain works is when she got to heaven, she found out everything that was my history. Mm. And that's what I was more upset. People couldn't understand why I was really upset. My beliefs have always been when you go to heaven or you die, you know, all your, the history of everything that's ever happened to your loved ones that you can find out about, or you know about. Sorry, that's how my brain works, but that's the way I thought about it. And I believe that, you know, my mother saw me, you know, she found out that I was abused. Hmm. She never knew that I was. So that was in 2013 when she passed away. And then in 2019, you know, 6 years later is when it all came down. It just all fell apart. And, since then, that letter included from my father, he's basically wrote me off. I'm no longer to contact him ever again, call, write, stop by, nothing. And, that's been 3 years, and it's been a little over a year since I've gone no contact with my own brother. So as of my immediate family, it's all her family. My family is her.
And so what were the circumstances that led up to you deciding to cut ties with your brother?
So my brother had a mental breakdown. Uh-huh. About a year ago. And we're talking like really, really out there. I mean, some really crazy stuff, religious stuff. And thank goodness I had a therapist going through, helping me through all this. It was bad. He was having a mental breakdown. Had the, people call the adult protective services on him, had police show up to where he was at multiple times, and he was off his rocker. And that's when I learned that going no contact so I can heal. Mm-hmm. Well, I can work through all my shit. It may be years before I reach out to him again. I know I felt better since I've not talked to him. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard, right? You know, you're saying, okay, yeah, I love my brother. You know, it was just basically, I always saw it was just me and him against my parents. You know, it was just us against them. But now my brother lives with my father. Mm. And the few times that I was communicating with him, my brother, he decided to confront our father about the abuse, and he denies all of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I told my brother, I'm like, that's not your place to tell him that. Mm-hmm. I told you not to tell him, you know, I wanted to confront him, you know, if it was going to be on his deathbed or wherever, but they never, you know, he never had accountability. Right. So I mean, it's just when you grow up with a kind of a shitty upbringing, you don't have all the good stuff that everybody else is filled with.
So granted, I didn't know you when all this stuff popped up 3 years ago, but I can tell that there's a lot of healing has already occurred with you. Like I just know it. what was there a what's been like a pivotal aha or like a pivotal shift for you, or do you feel like it's just been kind of like a slowly gradual warming up of the pot?
It's gradual, right? I really thought it was going to be like, okay, I see this, I check this off. Okay. That's my problems. Okay, cool. I never wanted to be labeled. Mm-hmm. Biggest thing is not being labeled, that you have a mental problem. And then in the DSM, CPTSD is not in there, but PTSD is. But it's been always gradual. There's never been like, ha ha, this is great. The greatness of the light bulbs going off for me is it's a daily interaction. It's changing my daily interactions with either it be a friend, a customer, or an acquaintance, or someone stranger, total strangers. Even my wife says, why are you? She always asks why I'm so nice to everybody, even to total strangers. I'll pull over on the side of the road and help you change a tire. When I moved to the big city, I got robbed the second week I was here because I was giving a total stranger a ride, off the side of the street, just things that, it's always been gradual. So the light bulbs have been like, okay, I see that. Okay. I shouldn't really react like that. Right. See the issue, think about it, pause, how you feel about it, and then respond. Mm-hmm. Instead of the immediate response,
subsequent cleanup. Yeah. What about a core limiting belief that you feel like the volume has been turned down some?
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today. All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/adultchild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/adultchild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again. Do you know how many times I've set the intention that on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to plan my meals out for the week, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get everything that I need, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make all my meals for the week. Do you know how many times I've actually been successful in doing that? Not once, folks, okay? Not one single time. But alas, I have found the perfect solution. Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your damn door. You get to pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Maybe one week you're feeling Mediterranean, maybe another week you're feeling a little carb consciousness. I like the sound of that. I most recently made, it was a spinach and strawberry salad with steak. It was damn good. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
It's the shame of,
I am shame.
Yeah, I have shame. I am shame. I'm a burden, right? I have no self-worth. I had no self-worth, right? The biggest was, it was the, is dealing with the whole male toxicity of shame, mm-hmm. right? No offense to the females that are listening, right? There's been stuff out there, you know, when you hear people, victims and survivors and all this, it's like everybody always assumes, just immediately goes to a domestic violence of a female, right? Or, you know, some, you know, or even, you know, a rape or some, you know, that's where people go with. And I've just been sitting in the background going, yep. I know where I'm going. Okay. You know, and then the whole notion with, you know, the Me Too movement, you know, there is a Men Too movement also. Mm-hmm. We're silent. We're not out there waving our flags or, you know, beating the drums and playing instruments and trying, you know, causing attention to the situation, right? Mm-hmm. Women have been doing that for many, many years, a lot long, you know, standing up for the rights and standing up for what they believe in. And I've just been over here going, yeah, me too. Mm.
What did you listen to the interview that I had with the guy in Australia? Did you listen to that? Who was like groomed?
Yeah. I've listened to a lot of them. Yeah, like 90 something.
I'll have to send you that one.
They almost kind of like blend in.
He wrote a book called Toy Cars.
Nathan Mispassoni.
Yeah, the one that was like went to the pool.
Toy Cars. Yes.
Yeah, remember that?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you need to listen to that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're in a good spot. I think it'll resonate with you a lot. So this was very similar story.
So even listening to other survivors, I've talked to other survivors, right? I've talked to other, you know, either in group or online or wherever. For me, the triggers don't hit me like that. Mm-hmm. If someone wants to disclose whatever they've gone through, I have a talent of listening, showing you my compassion and empathy, and it goes out the ear, right? I know that, you know, I don't want to remember those details of you. Yeah. I even had a friend, he was like, hey, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that, you know, that activity. I'm like, why? We're just going to go to the gun range. He goes, dude, I'm a convicted felon and I can't go to the gun range with you. I'm like, oh, shoot, over, you know, something that grows in the ground. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. Mm. I don't put labels on the people who I get to know, right? Yeah, just because that happened to you, that's not who you are. Mm-hmm. I've always said that about people. And now I'm good at showing that mirror, right? And projecting all that. But by God, coming back at me, it's like little daggers every day. That's the triggering. That's the triggering of going, you can put up that shit all day long to your friends, but why don't you take it, man?
Yeah, exactly.
And where that falls and lies and with me is that self-worth. Mm-hmm. Those little daggers are going, you should say that about yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what are 3 things that you like about yourself?
3 things I like about myself. I'm compassionate for others. I'm punctual, right? If I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm going to do it. Right. And I'm not into sports. I have other hobbies other than talking about the ESPN channel, you know, or whatever is on, you know. I don't watch sports.
I love that you just said that that's one of your things. Right. Did you play sports as a kid?
No, I was a band geek.
Yeah, what did you play?
Started trombone and tuba. Sousaphone and tuba. Yeah, they put the big kid on the sousaphone. You know, the one that wraps around you or the big bell.
Yes.
I didn't want to get hit. I didn't want to be touched. Right. You know, football. Right. Put the big kid in football. No, don't hit me because I'm gonna. There's gonna be fist thrown. I don't care. You know, I don't want to be touched. I don't want someone touching me.
It's like a tuba's like armor almost. Tuba's like armor. Like, you can't get me. Can't touch me. I got this damn tuba around me.
Right. Well, and I've got the biggest. Well, us in the drum line were, you know, because our stuff was so big, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never had to. Everybody else had to carry their stuff and instruments, whatever. But for the most part, you know, it's, you know, I've always found healing in, you know, it's all the hobbies, right? So when you have all these hobbies, I'm not the type of guy that's going to, you know, live my life by a sports team and make my feelings and emotions by, you know, something on the TV, right? You know,
I do. I will.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins lost. Well, okay, you know, if that's your team.
No, I will. My emotional well-being is dictated by sports and reality TV shows, so I'll just be honest about that.
Okay. We all have a caveat.
We all have our thing.
The other thing is that having all the hobbies and the hobbies that I have is because I didn't have hobbies when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I wasn't able to do those things, and I'm like, okay, don't have kids. If you're dinks too, well, you're a sink maybe, right? Single income, no kids. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to do the things that you enjoy
mm-hmm.
at this, you know, just in a way, almost reparenting myself
mm-hmm.
with fishing and hunting and scuba diving and gold prospecting and metal detecting and flying drones. I'm a big drone flyer now. So photography, catching really great sunsets and sunrises.
I mean, I have a ton of hobbies too. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Right. Yes. Well, I've been on a kick here lately for the Below Deck. I don't mm-hmm. know if you watch the Below Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I have a wife, so she's like Bravo 9:30 or whatever. Yes, it's
we should raise money and do like we should because the people that are on it, they, you know, they get a discounted rate, but they still have to pay, you know, to go on the ship. We should start a GoFundMe and we could do it like with like 8 of us from the Patreon. That would be fucking excellent TV, wouldn't that? Just throw a bunch of adult children on the Below Deck boat. Perfect.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yes. That's
actually they should pay us to be on it.
Yeah, that would be fun, right? You know, but who's paying the tip? Because I don't have that kind of money to pay the tip.
We'll figure it out.
Well, we're talking, you know,
we'll amazing. Have a bake sale.
Yeah, right.
We'll have a bake sale. I think. Well, I don't know if you were in there the other day when Eric baked a peach cobbler during the middle of our group, so we could have a bake sale.
And actually, I was going to say something. Yeah, we just made a peach cobbler in a cast iron in the oven the other night.
Nice.
Good stuff. Yeah.
So what is a hope or dream that you have for your future?
For myself or for myself?
Yes, is, for yourself. We're talking about you.
I know, right? To be free.
Mm.
To be free of the torment. To be free of the negativity that's in your brain, in my brain, right? To be free of lifting that mask off, right? Mm-hmm. To be free of not having to put that shield up. Because like I said, 3 years ago, those walls came down
mm-hmm.
and now I just have the shields and only use those. And that's to be free of, to be free and open to be openly be able to talk about my issues, men's issues, of what this trauma really has done to me, to be free of, you know, and not being embarrassed, mm-hmm. not being having that shame of this happened to me, you know, because trauma survivors are not more for the poor me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say poor me.
Mm-mm.
No, it may sound like that, but it's, you know, we don't want that empathy and sympathy all the time from the normies.
You know what they say in AA, like with that, they'll be like, poor me, poor me, pour me another drink.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say that you're a really big inspiration to me, seriously. And I just feel so honored to have you as part of my life and to have you as part of the group. It's really, you've been a huge asset in there. So thank you for being so vulnerable and honest and open. And I love being on this journey with you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. It means a lot. Really does. You've got a great platform. The reason why I followed you. The reason why I'm like, whoa, you're just like me. You're just like us. I'm like, wow. Wow, there's a lot of other people here.
And we have fun.
Right. Well, it is fun, but on the other hand, it's
real.
It's not in a scary place either. Right. At first I was nervous as ever can get out. And I'm like, okay, all these people. But I'm like, after 4 weeks, 5 weeks of doing this, I'm like, wow, this is all us. This is good stuff. And I appreciate you for putting this on. You know, you started 3 years ago, right? 3 or 4 years ago.
No, I started it a little over a year ago.
Oh, a year ago. Okay. Well, you started your healing.
Yeah. 4 years ago. Yeah.
4 years ago. That's what I'm thinking. So the podcast. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. I found you. So, hey,
you found me.
It works.
Keep finding me, people. So I released your episode on August 8th, 2022. So 2 years ago, where do I want to start? Has the narrative shifted at all as far as how you view your childhood? Do you feel like there's been pivotal shifts on it?
The pivotal moment for me has been, I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared of what people outside of this platform would think of me. I'm not scared of those people. I was always scared of letting people know what's happened to me. You know, it was fresh breath, folks. But the biggest pivotal moment is feeling like I'm becoming a little bit more freedom with myself. The negative talk is not completely gone, 100% gone away. I would guess say at least good 70% of what my brain lies to me and how it used to lie to me. And I'm like, wait, no, that's not right. You know, I'm easier able to capture myself from seeing what reality is and not listening to the stupid shit that was in my head of negative beliefs of what I've gone through and what the transformation has been. I see it as a dimmer switch,
mm-hmm.
right? And that dimmer switch is it just barely comes on brighter and goes dimmer, comes on brighter, goes dimmer, right? It's kind of an up and down, right? That, you know, that wave of healing. It's not like a full blown, oh my gosh, I'm completely healed and I'm at 100% peace. I know I'm not. Oh, I have unresolved issues of mother wound and father wounds that I have not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, you know, the first therapy for 5 years now. And it was BC before COVID, it was becoming regulated, right? When people have this midlife crisis or whatever they call it, aha moment or oh shit, and they break or whatever. That moment is when you're able to start begin again, right?
Do you still have your shame list?
Yeah, I do.
So what is that? Just that was all the negative messages that you would tell yourself?
It was all the negative messages, the shame list. And that's one thing my therapist told me to do. And I said, I did that task. I did it in like 10 minutes. I literally just like threw up everything on the shame list of things, this negative beliefs. And people talk about journaling. I still have a difficulty with journaling, but for me, it was releasing
those same toxic beliefs. It's so fucking horrible. God, you wouldn't call your worst enemy some of the shit that I was calling myself. You know, I wouldn't talk bad about people like that, you know?
Yeah.
God dang, I did it to myself tremendously for years. It's like, why? You know?
Is there anything on there that you feel like is completely crossed off now?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me some ones that you think are gone.
Well, yeah. My number one go-to comment was I was an idiot. Right. Yeah, I'm an idiot because of every little stupid mistake. If I'm making a mistake, good God. Whether it be a mistake in the kitchen or cooking dinner or I took the trash out wrong, you know, did some minor thing in my head, I became an idiot. I need better. Mm-hmm. Right.
So is that one is not as loud? Or
oh, yeah. No, it's not even there. Right. The other ones I've literally brushed off. The biggest one for me is that I believe that I could never be loved. That I could never be loved. And I don't know, being loved is difficult. I never had that love growing up. So it's taken me a really long time to really feel that love from another person because I never loved myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm working on is loving myself. Like, I'm a good person. I know I am a good person. And to love myself to where I can have that acceptance, accept the love of myself and not being ashamed of what happened to me, the childhood sexual abuse. And you're allowing to help me create a space for like people. And I'm like, wow, I'm not ashamed to say that anymore. I used to be. I first started your platform. I was so scared to let anybody know that I was sexually abused. And now I'm able to talk to people openly about it.
What do you feel like was the most difficult emotion for you to feel? Like, what is an emotion that you felt very uncomfortable with that now you are more okay with expressing?
Good question.
Like, what about sadness? I mean, do you feel like prior to doing this work, did it just come out through anger or were you able to express sadness?
No, yeah, sadness, I'll cry. Oh, uh-huh. I can cry. You know, yeah. Whenever I'm sad, I can cry. I mean, mm-hmm. I cry in front of people. You know, here lately, though, if I do cry, I still want to revert back to wanting to be alone
mm-hmm.
and not letting anybody see that. Including my spouse, including uh-huh. others. I'm trying to think of the emotion, but I'm trying to describe this emotion of when people are proud of me. I used to think, don't do that. Don't be proud of me. And the accomplishments of everything I've done, from building an awesome fence to doing these house projects, to bathroom renovation, everything, proud. I've been able to accept being proud of myself. That's the biggest emotion that, and it's not necessarily, I guess you could say it's an emotion.
It is an emotion, yeah.
Proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good now. It used to hurt.
What is that about?
What's that?
Feeling proud hurting you.
It stems from my parents. Uh-huh. I'm always trying to be the smart kid. My brother was the genius, and I was the more practical, emotional kid,
mm-hmm.
where he was. Very, very smart, but I didn't never think I could make my parents proud. But all these emotion, it all comes down to love, true, honest love, love for yourself, love for Mother Nature, love for everything, love and compassion, right? I mean, everything just leads to the word love. And being proud of yourself takes a specialty type of love,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you're proud of yourself and you can accept someone being proud of your accomplishments and be grateful for that and actually accepting it. That does have a good feel now than what it used to feel like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So you've been no contact with your dad and your brother for how long?
Father's been 5 years and brother's been 2.5.
And are you very much at peace with that? I think you are.
Yeah. But... Yeah. For me, I don't feel like I'm covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of being disowned. Well, it's like, well, fuck, they abandoned me all the damn time. So I'm going, I know it's their issue. I'm the child. Parents should not throw away their own children. And because of one disagreement, whatever, or one conversation, you know, an elevated conversation, I'm at peace with that. I'm actually I'm at peace. And the other thing is what's going to happen when I do run into them, if I ever did run into them or see them again or see the brother again, and what's that going to look like? And I'm going, I'm just take it as it comes, right? You guys taught me a new word on here. It's called future tripping.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What do you find now are your triggers? What gets you going now?
My number one trigger, the person that can really get me going is my wife.
Yep.
Yep. She can really get me to where she can either say a simple sentence and it gets me fired up where she doesn't mean to.
Is it usually rooted in particular, like feeling of I'm not being heard or what? Typically?
I'm not good enough. Yeah, I'm not good enough. I'm a mistake maker or letting people down or letting her down. But to capture those reactions and stop that reaction, stop, think, observe, process, and proceed, right? And then I'm like, okay, this is how I feel. All right, this is the reason why I'm reacting this way. But sometimes if I get caught off guard of a comment or something and I'm not prepared for it, that's when my reactions get to where it's like tunnel vision. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even think about anything else, no reasoning with me, no calming me down, no, like, what is wrong? You know, what's there's root of those core issues? And then it's like, snap, oh, what the heck just happened? Heck on it, didn't mean to do that, you know? It's not me. And once I showed my wife a few things pertaining to how my brain works, reason why I'm doing all this, she's been way more accepting of it to be like, okay, she sees me in the moment, 8-year-old anger, upset over something stupid and minor, asking, you know, did you fold the clothes? Shit. No, I didn't. Why did you ask me that? I didn't fold the clothes. My other clothes are still in the hand. And that's the little me going back to when my mom would say that.
I was just thinking about just the power in breaking our shame through community. And I would think that that piece would be even more crucial for somebody who's endured childhood sexual abuse. I would think that it is almost absolutely required and necessary to be in a community with others who have experienced the same in order to really break through that shame. Like, I don't see how you could do that just through working with a therapist.
I don't think you can either. Even in other types of organizations, it's all about a group community of being together, childhood sexual abuse. There's no, you can't handle this on your own. The shame is too heavy for a lot of people. And that's the reason why I think there are people that have been silenced for so long. They just, I don't know how they do it. I thought I could keep it a fucking secret. I really did. I was wrong. And I'm okay with that. And I'm good with that. But none of this work could be done by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
None of this can be done above, especially the CSA portion of the onion. It's a layer that is so bruised of the onion. No one wants to look at that piece. No one wants to look at that piece of the onion or pull it away from the onion to look at it. Because it breaks a lot of people. It breaks your soul. It breaks your spirit. When that spirit breaks and that's your soul is breaking, a lot of people, when they do disclose, it's to the point where it was they had to do it. It's almost like you have to do it.
Yeah.
Or something else would end up going really badly wrong, right? We live in today's society that it is okay to speak about these things. You know, if you try to talk about this stuff in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, 80s, all up to the 90s, some of the 90s, it was not accepted, right? It was like my beliefs, things I saw, it was like, well, it's, you know, that whole hush hush generation. Don't say that. Should talk about those kind of things. We don't tell nobody in our family that that's happened. None of that could be done. None of that healing has to be done in groups where, but they're not alone.
Yeah, they're not the only.
You're not the fucking animal dealing with this. I'm not either. You're not either. Okay, cool. Wow, there's others. So let's jump on this mighty shit show ship. And I've heard people say in our group that they're happy to be there. We look forward to Wednesday's groups. But no, people are safe in that room. No, people are safe in amongst the people that are on there of actually opening it up and having a voice for themselves, having a voice for myself. It's astronomical, Andrea. It's astronomical where we're actually able to have that voice and be seen, be heard, be safe, and be soothed all in one little hour, hour and a half meeting once a week with that group.
That's a fresh of breath.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to you in 2 years from now, what is the next thing you want to cross off on that list that you have not crossed off?
Majority of these, they've been turned down tremendously, right? Mm-hmm. I really don't think about these things at all anymore. I used to think I was a piece of shit. I had no soul. I was a completely abused boy. I should have been beaten more. You know, no one believed me. Everybody hated me. No one looks up to you. No one actually cares. Right? That negative belief, I'm like, I don't believe that anymore. In these 2 years, I know for a fact that all these will be completely diminished and gone. I know so. I mean, from where they were when I originally wrote all this to where I'm at now, I'm like, oh yeah, this list could just go away, really. I said originally in my original podcast, you know, I just want freedom. Doing all this work in the last 2 years, you know, I've gotten into sound healing and different modalities and stuff. And it's bringing more inner peace.
What about things that you've come to really love about yourself as a result of doing this work? Something that you've really come to love about yourself?
I don't put myself down about my body self-image anymore. I've learned to love myself in the way that I actually love my body.
Mm.
I used to not care for it too much.
That's huge.
I've gotten way better at that.
It's such an honor to have you in my life. Thanks for not leaving.
Well, bless you. Oh, I'm not going to leave. Yeah, it's not open to you. I'm not going to leave you. It's
I'm going to kill you if you do.
It's more of an awakening, right? When people really see what this is actually truly about, is your awakening of your insides of going, yeah, right? And I enjoy, you know, I enjoy doing this whenever I can, right? On Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I was in the hospital running the show. I'm like, I'm on the Zoom. I'm over here in the hospital, you know, sick as ever you get. And, you know, in ICU, but I'll do it with you. Because it's, you know, and I wasn't looking for, you know, attention or anything, but it's like, you know, I'm dedicated. And I know that I count on people and people count on me. Right? I count on them. And
you're just a
me.
Real breath of fresh.
So, and that's where that love comes from. Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Let it all go.